wanted a competitive football game, for God's sakes. And we thought it was going to happen. Like, the schedule's not going to get any easier, as you know. At Dallas, week two, okay, that was another quote-unquote winnable game. Right now, I don't think it matters who the Giants play. They do not look like they can play competent football regardless. It's about them. Mm-hmm. They are their toughest opponent. And not only that, BT, you get also the side note with Neighbors and Dable. Now, I'm not going to try to go after Malik Neighbors on this, but this is becoming a little bit of a pattern to a point where I'm starting to get Odell Beckham Jr. vibes a little bit, where there is a lack of... Hey, I'm not saying he's wrong either, by the way. He could be... Like, Neighbors could be right, but there is a lack of maybe respect for what's going on with the play calling, the hierarchy, and that can lead to a bad environment, especially when you're losing and you put up 6 points and no touchdown. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to snowball and potentially could get to a point where, again, it's out of control.
Yeah, I understand why you would say that. I'm not going to go there yet. I think that Dable is obviously much more than Tom Coughlin, just based on his age and his attitude, the way he comports himself. I think that Dable is fine with Neighbors. I think that they've got a good relationship. I saw what happened yesterday. If he left him hanging, by the way, never dapped him up, you know. I don't know if Neighbors really saw that. I just think that Neighbors is incredibly competitive, which I love. I think that Dable appreciates that, Dable. And I think that he knows that there's frustrations that are going to boil over when you're not getting the football, especially when you're open, which has happened since he was drafted here, as good as he was a year ago. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But it really doesn't matter what I think. It's the optics. And when you're losing, right, which they are, and now forget about us because I think we see it fairly clearly and a pretty we're not looking to start trouble between the coach and player.
And I don't think that it's between the two. I'm just saying that I think Neighbors in isolation, the way he's reacting, and you're right, Dable likes his competitiveness. It's one of the reasons why they wanted him here. I'm not saying, oh, it's a big blow up on the sideline and they hate each other. No, not that at all. What I'm saying is Neighbors has shown in now 2 years.
Yeah, a little petulance.
Getting frustrated visibly on the sideline. And that, to me, is more of a selfish thing. And just it's not going to do any good to the team. Even if it's not just about him and about the frustrations with the offense or not getting the ball, that is not going to do any good. And that's what I'm saying. It's not him versus Dable. I'm saying it brings a negative energy and cloud around a situation that is obviously frustrating to begin with.
Well, I think on the national scene, which we don't really care about, but I think that's where it becomes more problematic. So you're going to have all these debate shows that when they get to the Giants and the Commanders, they will say, oh, look, here we are. Giants look terrible. And look, the head coach and the star receiver, not getting along, when I don't really think it's that deep. But I do agree with you on this. When you don't get the football and you show that outward frustration, it seems selfish. It really does. It comes across as selfish. You don't want to see that.
If Garrett Wilson did that to Aaron Glenn, what would you want to see Aaron Glenn do?
Snapping, let him vent for a second. This is not the 1950s. Let him air it out a little bit, and then if it became too much, now you've got to have a different tone and a different exchange and let him know who the boss is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it's about hierarchy and order and those things. That's what I'm saying. It's not a personal thing with Dable and Neighbors. At least I don't believe it.
I don't think it is either.
I'm talking about respecting authority and a structure thing and who's leading the way. When you have players, and in this case Neighbor, and he's done this multiple times, your Neighbors since he's been here, when you have players that are undermining the head coach, even just visibly showing frustration and disrespecting the head coach, be like, oh, come on, man, this is embarrassing. Like, we get it. It is embarrassing. I understand Malik Neighbors. But that, to me, is undermining the head coach, which is just not a good look for anybody.
And here's the other problem, too. We'll get back to the calls. Obviously, Giant fans want to let it rip. 888-808-1019. Jets later. BT and Sal and all the fam. But the other problem, real quick, is that they have not had a quarterback who's got the presence and the chops to defuse that. Where Daniel Jones was very much to himself, very vanilla, didn't say a word. Whereas, Russell Wilson, he's got maybe the league cred, but he's got no equity here in that locker room. He just got here.
But he's supposed to be a leader.
I know he is. No, it depends on who you speak to in Seattle. Like,
he won a Super Bowl.
I'm a Russell Wilson fan. I get it.
I'm not even saying you have to be here. I'm just saying part of the appeal to bringing a veteran quarterback would be cleaning up little things
like
that.
Yeah, but did you ever see him getting between, remember when the defensive players were all over him? He just kind of kept his mouth shut. He's not that demonstrative, fight back verbally. verbally, I don't mean a fist fight with your teammate, but verbal pushback like a Brady or a Peyton Manning who would basically say, dude, shut the bleep up and get rid of me. Let's get lost.
Also, maybe because of where he's at in his career. We saw similar with Aaron Rodgers last year with the Jets, where even though he was saying the right things and trying to get these guys to buy in, some of the younger guys just either don't respect it or don't care, and maybe that's the case. And again, I'm not trying to create problems. I'm not saying that it is a big problem. All I'm saying is I don't think that type of attitude or frustration shown on the sideline is healthy. And when you're losing and you're only scoring 6 points, like we all know it, neighbors doing that to me is not going to help out the current regime. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Scott is calling from Rockland County. What's up, Scott?
Hey, appreciate y'all taking my call. Listen, Giant fans, y'all need to, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right because they lost to a professional NFL team. They had a competitive game, and you got a team with a quarterback that's, you know, has moderate success. I would consider him maybe pedestrian or a journeyman. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hear about his Super Bowl win because you know what? Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson won Super Bowls. Would you put them in your starting lineup as a league quarterback?
No, Scott, hold on. You're confusing me because you started to defend the Giants like, hey, it's going to be okay.
No, I'm saying and then you basically said the Russell Wilson is going to.
Which one is it?
No, but you know what? People are complaining about the quarterback situation, and you got what you got.
We're
you
not.
Know, people wanted to. Right?
We're not.
So, yeah, we can only speak for ourselves here, Scott.
You know what? I wanted to say that I think the Giants have a great chance at playoff. They'll be there, you know.
Based on
San Francisco's hanging around,
they got a better shot. Well, you know, unfortunately,
no, because they have a good team. And
Scott, they scored 6 points.
Yesterday. I'm
all for belief, and it's week one. You're right, but you got to give me some tangible reason why you think the Giants are going to be a playoff team because I still haven't heard that from you.
All right, my tangible reason is this, is that they are the New York Giants, and they always seem to play.
Scott,
they always seem to.
Scott.
What?
I
I'm a Saints fan, but I think the Giants are going to be a playoff
team.
Scotty.
You know, thank
and
you.
I wanted to.
Communication
wanted to
process
say that,
seems to be broken down again. Well,
I don't know
Scott's what's
going on. I mean, dude.
I mean, I
knew he wasn't from here. You could just tell he sounds a little different, which is great. I mean, we love people calling all over the country, free Odyssey app. You relocate to the city, you latch on to BT and Sound on the Fan. We love it. But you couldn't have a more inaccurate view of the Giants. I mean, he just said the Giants are going to be good because of the Giants. That's supposed to be reassuring? I think the more accurate thing is the Giants are going to stink because they're the Giants. That's what's happened to the Giants. Now, I think the answer is somewhere in between. I do think they're going to be a little bit better than yesterday, and they'll win a couple of games. We can get to that later. But, like, I was a little bit more optimistic than you.
But I'm saying, what's a couple? Well, are we talking a literal two?
No, the more than that. Yeah. Although, if it's two, everybody's gone. But think about this, guys. Do the Giants, and this is depressing, do the Giants have, and I don't mean do they have a good receiver, do the Giants have an effective pass game? The answer is no. Do the Giants consistently and effectively run the football? The answer is no. Do the Giants effectively and consistently stop the run? The answer is hell no. And do the Giants have a pass rush? Oh, yeah, they do. It's by far the best aspect of the team. The problem is you never have a lead where you allow those guys to just go quarterback hunting. So even their best traits mitigate it.
So if I were Scott trying to make a case for the Giants or give you a tangible reason to believe in the Giants, I would start with saying, well, they have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl in place. That's number one. Number two, they have an elite wide receiver in Malik Nabers. They also have elite players on defense, and it's just 1 week, and it's against the Commanders. Now, again, you could add all that up and still say, yeah, but I don't think it's good enough. But at least there are, like, you can make the case, Scott was clearly saying the Giants are because they're the Giants is like the worst thing that you could say based off of what the Giants have done, certainly, in recent history. Chris is in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
Hello, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Chris.
Thank God the Yankees will be playing in October because I'm outraged at this Giant team again. guys, look, you both are hitting on it, and it's a fundamental problem. Their line is inept. Andrew Thomas is a great player. We all know it. But they had all summer, and BT, you pointed this out, as early as October of last year, he was hurt. You've got to then reconfigure your line and figure it out. Continuity. Offensive lines are built on continuity. They have to act as if Andrew Thomas isn't there. That line was embarrassing. Dable has been a pass-the-buck guy for a long time now. Daniel Jones is the problem. No, it doesn't matter who's under center. You don't have a line who can block. The best year they had was 22. Why? They had a really opportunistic defense led by Wink Martindale. He couldn't get along with him. Jettison him. Saquon Barkley had his best year, arguably, that year. Let's get rid of him because we don't need running backs. Anybody can replace him. Oh, look behind a mediocre line. You don't get production. That shows how good Barkley was. Now, they can't even protect, and it's all predicated on Andrew Thomas. And if you want to indict Shane, Shane goes all in on Brian Burns. Good player. That money should have been put in the line because it's an offensive league, and you got to throw the ball under Dable's offense. But you don't want to block. No, they want their splash moves. I've had it with this regime. They pat themselves on the back, and then they pass the buck when it goes sour.
There's one thing left, and we'll take a break and get back to your calls here. There's one thing left, from my perspective, that is to be seen from this regime. We all know what that is.
Let me guess.
Yeah, well, that's it. No, no, but
I don't know. We've got a new punter this week. Come on, man. That's the biggest story in the room.
Understood, but that's the definitive. Yeah. Like, it's it. Everything else has been determined. They have not been good enough. The regime. I'm not talking about Dable. I'm talking about Shane and Dable and everybody else involved. Almost every decision they have made has been the incorrect one. Almost. I mean, obviously, there's some. They talk about the talent, how they had a great draft last year, and now the talent this year. Again, we saw it. Like, at some point, I'd like to see the talent actually do something. You know, catch a ball, score a touchdown, simple things like that. Mm-hmm. I can be pleased easily. Just score a freaking touchdown.
It's bad already.
But there's one thing that, to me, that can save it all, and that's left to be. It's why I'm not going to say fire Shane and fire Dable yet. And it's Jackson Dart.
And that's the conversation we had next. You knew it was coming. We wanted to get into the game a little bit, let you guys, you know, air the grievances, and we'll still let you do that. But Dart on the table next.